नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुं मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदायं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं नमो ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनित्यनाम्ने नमस्ते शारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतरणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभिश्चकृपासिन्धुभ्यो च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Krishna. So we are continuing on the discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 18th chapter, titled Parashit Maharaj Cursed by the Brahmana Bhai. And then especially the last few verses from 38 to 50, the subtopic for that is like Samikrishi regrets his son's deed with lamentation and prayers. So last week we covered from verses 38 till 47. That's like Samikrishi's like lamentation. And then the last four verses are Samikrishi's prayers. That's what we're going to cover. So as we all know, these are based on the teachings of Kesavendra A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And then before we speak on this topic, we would like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas, Guru and Gauranga, Hare Krishna. So, if any shortcoming is there in my presentation, it is completely due to my fault, my inability. So, there is no shortcomings in the teachings of the Acharyas. And as we saw last week, so this 18th chapter is divided into various sections. And then the last two sections, Samikrishi laments, when he hears what his son has done. That's what we covered 38 to 46 last week. And then this week we are going to cover this last four verses. Samikrishi prays to the Supreme Lord to forgive his son's foolishness. And then also there is verses why he prays that. Why does he pray to the Supreme Lord instead of going to the devotee, instead of going to Parashit Maharaj. So we will cover that, those things. And then as I said, so different verses I had divided into different topics. From 38 to 40 it was the devotee's behavior should be self-conscious. They must be self-conscious. They should not be acting without discrimination. They should be conscious. Then only they can become Krishna conscious. And then the devotees should not be acting instinctively. They should actually use their knowledge. They should discriminate before reacting instinctively to the external situations. And then if they don't know how to behave, they should be reaching out help from seniors. And then the next two verses, 42-43, was actually the duties of a monarch. Then what does a monarch does to his citizens? How he discharges his duty? And especially how to respect such a monarch. So the one such monarch, the greatest monarch was like Parikshit Maharaj. Those behaviors have been described here. And then 44-45 was, if such a monarchy is abolished, what will happen to the society? So what is alternative to monarchy is like the so-called democracy. So if democracy is there, what will happen to the society? Those have been described by Sri Samikrishi in 44-45. And then 46 is the quality of Maharaj Parikshit. The qualities of Maharaj Parikshit have been described in that verse. And then 47 to 50 is the one we are going to cover. The 47th verse, actually I had given the topic title as taking responsibility for our actions. and again 48 to 50 again I had given some other topics titles, so we'll see that as it comes. So we'll jump into 47th verse. So we will recite together the verse first. Apayapsu svapratyeshu valena pakva buddhina papam kritam tat bhagavan sarvatma kshantum arhati. Then the rishi prayed to the all-pervading personality of Godhead to pardon his immature boy who had no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. So again, we'll read the purport, the important points from the purport. So Prabhupada says that everyone is responsible for his own action, either pious or sinful. So nobody else is responsible. Whatever is happening to us is based on our past actions, the reactions we are facing. So everybody has to be responsible for his actions, whether it's pious or impious. So nobody else is responsible. We cannot just sometimes blame it on the circumstance. Usually that is the case. Generally we have the tendency to take not responsibility for our action. We just generally we have the, at least for me, I have this propensity to validate that, okay, it's not my thing, it's because of the circumstance I have done. We just generally try to justify our actions, that I did this because like that. So that propensity actually cannot be done. Actually, one should be responsible for one's action. Say, Shamik Rishi could foresee that his son had committed a great sin by cursing Maharaj Parikshit, who deserved to be protected by the Brahmanas. For he was pious ruler and completely free from all sins because of his being a first class devotee of the Lord. Here it is mentioned that Parikshit Maharaj is supposed to be protected by the Brahmanas because he is the king, he is a pious king, as well as he is the devotee of the Lord, he is sinless. He is supposed to be protected by the Brahmanas. We generally hear that the Kshatriyas protect others. Right? That's what we hear. It's Prabhupada saying in the purport that he is supposed to be protected by the Brahmanas. That's what even the verse says. He is supposed to be protected. What does it mean, he is supposed to be protected? So Kshatriya protects others with
the sword.
Astra, the sword. The Brahmanas is supposed to protect the Kshatriya by Shastra, not by Astra, by Shastra. By teaching, by the Brahmanical culture, by the knowledge of scriptures, they are supposed to train the kings. And the king is supposed to, based on the teaching received from the Brahmanas, based on the counsel he received from the Brahmana, he is supposed to rule his subjects. How does he supposed to rule his subject? Not just by protecting from dangers and enemies, he is supposed to also protect them from their sinful propensities. Brahmanas is supposed to give protection for the entire society by giving protection to Kshatriyas. And Kshatriyas give protection to the society by guarding them from the enemies and from danger, physical danger, as well as from the mental danger. Because Kshatriyas are capable of, actually because they have the weapon, people will listen to them. So people have to listen to the king. The king will actually make sure that the prescribed duties of the people in different varnas and ashrams are discharged. That is the purpose of the monarch. The monarch is not just to simply collect tax, then misuse people. So they are Raja Rishis. They know the teachings of the scriptures. They know the purpose of the goal of human life. And they make sure that they engage the subjects in the kingdom according to their own varna and ashrama. So that's how they give protection. So these Kshatriyas are supposed to be protected by the Brahmanas, by the knowledge of Vedic scriptures. By Vedic scriptures, by giving the guidance, by giving the teachings, they are supposed to be protected. So here Prabhupada again Prabhupada further says, when an offense is done unto the devotee of the Lord, it is very difficult to overcome the reaction. So now here the Brahmanas are supposed to protect the king. Even if they are not protected, if he is an ordinary king, it's okay. Whereas this king is actually an exalted devotee of the Lord, a pure devotee of the Lord, a first class devotee of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada says. He's a Uttama Adhikari. So when you commit mistake against such a Uttama Adhikari, it's very difficult to stop the consequence. So the Lord actually, when an offense is done unto the devotee of the Lord, it is very difficult to overcome the reaction. The Brahmanas, being the head of the social orders, are meant to give protection to the subordinates and not to curse them. So the Brahmanas should not actually, one who is in a higher position should not actually abuse the people who are the dependents. So that is against the principles of Dharma. If somebody is taken shelter under you, if somebody is dependent on you, one should not actually abuse them, one should not misuse them, one should not actually mistreat them. So here Brahmanas in the superior position, they are supposed to protect the king. But they have forgotten. This boy, actually out of his immaturity, because of his Brahmanical powers, he misused his power on the king. Sometimes Brahmanas may furiously curse a Kshatriya or Vaishya, but in the case of Maharaj Parshit, there were no grounds. Prabhupada tells again, sometimes actually the Brahmanas, they curse the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. Why? How they should be cursing? They should use the discrimination. They should not be doing indiscriminately. Like we know the example from Bhagavatam, right? The Brahmanas actually killed King Vena. King Vena became sinful, right? He was against religious principles. So he was not ruling properly. Then Brahmanas actually cursed him. That's how the Vena died. And then the Brahmanas actually churned the King Vena's body. From that actually Prithvimagaraj came, right?
From the thighs.
So we know that actually they are given the power, they are given the ability to curse people because sometimes it's needed. So one has to use the discrimination, not indiscriminately. One should not actually do out of pride and arrogance. One should not do. You can close that. You can just close that. So one should not be actually misusing the power given to them. So that is actually very important, because sometime or the other, whether we are qualified or not qualified, sometimes we will be given position in the society or in the community or anywhere we might be given. So hence we should be using that power very carefully. Here, if you don't use that power carefully, the consequence could be very bad. The foolish boy had done it out of sheer vanity in being a Brahmana's son, and thus he became liable to be punished by the law of God. Because this boy actually had done it out of sheer vanity. Because he is proud of that he is son of Brahmana, he has this Brahmanical powers. Without even thinking, when he heard that his father was cursed, his father was like insulted by Parikshit Maharaj by throwing the snake on his neck. When he heard that, immediately he started uttering, angry, with anger, out of pride and arrogance. He started uttering, like calling ill names on Parikshit Maharaj. He started calling him as a dog and as a what and all the names, king ill names called. He is upstart, a dog, and
watchdog.
No, watchdog, and upstart, and there was one more thing he was calling. Yeah. Anyway, so he was calling ill names. And then immediately, see, let me show my power. These guys are supposed to be behaving properly. They are not behaving properly. Let me show my power. Like that, he touched the water and cursed. So one should not be behaving like that. One should use the discrimination.
The Lord never, and then Prabhupada says that the Lord never forgives a person who conducts his pure devotee. So now we can understand why actually Samyak Rishi is actually praying to the Supreme Lord. Because the Lord actually never forgives. That means Samyak Rishi should be going to Parikshit Maharaj. And the father says, by cursing the king, the foolish king had committed not only a sin as well as a great offense. He is not only just committed a sin, he also committed a great offense. So if you commit an offense against a Vaishnava, what is the remedy? We know. The Lord doesn't forgive. The Lord only gives direction. Lord only gives direction to go to that person. One cannot actually escape from the offense committed. So here, Samyak Rishi, instead of going to Parikshit Maharaj, actually he prays to the Lord. Why is that? It's because we will know from the further verses, we can understand from that actually. He foresees that Supreme Personality of Godhead could save his boy from his sinful act, directly prayed for pardon from the Supreme Lord, who will not can undo a thing which is impossible. Only the Supreme Lord can forgive here in the situation, because Parikshit Maharaj is not going to counteract the curse, because he is a Vaishnava. He is not going to counter curse. He is not going to rebel, because he has the power. In the upcoming verses we will see. This appeal was made in the name of a foolish boy who had developed no intelligence at all. So here Samyak Rishi sees that Parikshit Maharaj is not going to counter curse. What is the only choice left? There is no other choice left. This boy is actually out of immaturity. He made this mistake. So he prays to the Supreme Lord to protect the boy, because there is no other choice left. Then again, further Prabhupada writes in the purport, why was a Brahmana boy was chosen for this? The Lord, if he wanted to enact the pastime, because we know that the whole pastime is enacted by the will of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada again and again writes the purport, as well as that's what the verses say. That this whole pastime is enacted by the Lord's will, Lord's arrangement. Right? Here, like Prabhupada writes, why was a Brahmana boy made responsible for this offense instead of somebody else? Prabhupada gives the answer. The answer is that the offensive act was performed by a child only so that he could be excused very easily. Thus, the prayer of the father was accepted. If somebody else has done this thing, right? If somebody grown up person who has discriminating capability is done, that person cannot be pardoned. Here, Samyak Rishi is praying to the Lord because this boy doesn't have the maturity. He's a small boy. He doesn't have the discriminatory power. So he misused his power. That's what he's saying. So that's how it can be excused. That's why the Brahmana boy was chosen to enact the pastime. And then that actually the previous verse we saw that. Samyak Rishi also takes the responsibility for the boy, not only for this boy. He says that he takes the whole responsibility by the Brahminical community. He says that the whole Brahminical community made the mistake. That's the next question somebody can ask. Why the Brahmana community as a whole was made responsible for allowing Kali into the world affairs? This question somebody can ask. Prabhupada gives the answer. The answer is that it is mentioned in Marada Purana that the demons who acted iniquely towards the Lord before and who were not killed by him, they were allowed to take birth in the Kali Yuga in the Brahminical family. So the demons who were not killed by the Lord in the previous age when the Lord was present, whoever were left, they were allowed to take birth in the Brahminical family. Now you might ask the question, why? Two reasons. One, the reason is so that they can be given a chance to correct themselves. And two, so that the Kali Yuga can start. If the Brahminical people and the demons take birth in a Brahminical family, they will misuse the scripture, hence the degradation of the time will start. This is the reason. Prabhupada writes further.
There is a chance of correction.
No, because they are born in a good family, they can be, they can correct, because they are given the opportunity to correct themselves. Because the ambience, because they are taking birth in the Brahmanical family, they are given the opportunity to correct. Prabhupada writes, right, allowed to take birth in the Brahmana's family to take advantage of the age of Kali. The All Merciful Lord gave them a chance to have their births in the families of pious Brahmanas so that they could progress towards salvation. But the demons, instead of utilizing the good opportunity, misused the Brahmanical culture due to the puffed up vanity in being Brahmanas. So that is how the Kali Yuga degraded. Because the Brahmanical people who have taken birth in the Brahmanical family, they have not followed the Brahmanical culture properly. Out of being proud, pride, right? They started misusing the scriptures. The example given is the son of Samikrishi here. Right? Son of Samikrishi, actually, because of his Brahmanical power, he misused it. Foolish sons of Brahmanas are warned hereby not to act like Sringi. The Prabhupada is excellent here. He is making the point. The foolish sons of Brahmanas are warned hereby not to act like Sringi and guard against the demonic qualities from the previous births. They should be very careful. Just because somebody had taken birth in the Brahmanical family, you should be very careful. It may not be the reason why they had taken birth in the Brahmanical families, not just because of the pious deeds. It could be because of out of mercy of the Lord. In the previous ages, they could have been demons. So they are taking birth in the Brahmanical family out of the kindness, out of the mercy given by the Lord. So they should be very careful. They should not misuse. The foolish boy was, of course, excused by the Lord, but others who may not have a father like Samikrishi will be put into great difficulty if they misuse the advantage obtained by birth in a Brahmanical family. Here actually Prabhupada is warning that one taken birth in the Brahmanical family should be very careful. If it is not, he may not be saved. Because that person's father may not be as great as like Samikrishi. Hence, one may not be able to save. That is the danger. That's why Prabhupada is warning very carefully here. All these things actually, all this understanding actually, without reading Prabhupada's purport, if you simply read through this whole pastime, it looked like this king made a mistake, and then for that mistake, this Brahmana punished him. And this looks, if you just read, by reading through, you will think that, okay, this king could not do anything. That's why he just accepted simply. But it is not the case. Until you read through the purport of the Acharyas, right, we cannot understand. The king is capable of counter-cursing. Until we read Prabhupada's purport, we can't understand. Parikshit is capable of counter-cursing the boy. But still he doesn't do. Not just because of his inability, because of his humility. So until we read the purport, we cannot understand. So that's why it's very important to not just read through the verses, we need to carefully read the purpose. So we will go to the next verse.
Tirakshatta vipralabdha sabda chipta hada api nashyata pradikurvanti tadbhakta prabhopihi.
The devotees of the Lord are forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. Now we can understand why Samikrishi is not going to Parikshit. Because the devotees, actually they never avenge when they are insulted or when they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed and neglected or even killed. They never avenge themselves. So this is a behavior of a perfect devotee. This is what behavior of a perfect devotee. A Uttama Adhikari, a pure devotee, he never actually reacts to the insults and the offenses committed towards him. Right? Now in the purport actually Prabhupada writes, so the title for this verse is what it means to forgive. What it means forgiving means, first of all. So the Lord does not forgive who commits an offense at the feet of a devotee. The Lord can only give direction to take shelter of the devotee. Rishi thought if Magaraj Parikshit would counter curse the boy, he might be saved. But he knew also that a pure devotee is callous about worldly advantage or reverses. Devotees are never inclined to counteract personal defamation, curses, negligence, etc. Devotees do not care for the personal affairs. Sorry, that's a mistake. Devotees do not care for their personal affairs. Devotees take strong action, but the devotees take strong action if the Lord or the devotees of the other devotees are offended. They don't care for their own personal insult or personal defame. But if somebody commits offense against the Supreme Lord or his devotees, they take very serious action. Right? Therefore, Samakrishi knew that the king would not take counteraction. Thus, there was no alternative than to place an appeal to the Lord for the immature boy. There is no other choice left. Because the king is not, Parikshit Maharaj is not going to counteract. He would have counteracted, the whole situation could have stopped. The boy would have been punished as well as Parikshit Maharaj would have been not killed. But whereas the Parikshit Maharaj took this as mercy of the Lord. He was not insulted. It is not like he was a genuine devotee. He was genuinely humble. When somebody is humble, right, where is the question of somebody is feeling insulted? Actually, when Parikshit Maharaj went back after the action, after he putting the snake, when he went back to the palace, actually he lamented. We will see in the next chapter, those things will come. Actually he laments for his action he did. I should have not done this. Why he had done it? Out of thirst and hunger. He was actually pushed by the senses. So that's what we should be very careful, right? So one, when somebody is pushed by the senses, pushed by the needs of the body, one can actually act instinctively. So this is the lesson for us to learn, is that even though we might be devotees, even though we might be very careful, but sometimes out of the pushings of the body, one could make a mistake. So even another person, when somebody makes a mistake, this could be because of this. Here, actually, the offense committed by the Parikshit Maharaj is not a big offense. It is insignificant. Why is it insignificant? Even though he insulted a sage, he is like a great sage. He is a mystic yogi. He is insulted. Should we not take that as a great offense? No. This offense is a small offense because he was a victim of thirst and hunger. He was tired. When somebody is thirst and hungry, he could easily become agitated. He got angry. And then he made this mistake, not out of envy. When somebody makes a mistake, not out of envy, out of this pushings of the body, when somebody could become angry and take. So that is not, hence, that's why the mistake made by Parikshit Maharaj is not considered to be a big mistake. Because he did not out of envy, out of the pushings of the body, thirst and hunger he did. So it is not that only the Brahmanas are powerful enough to award curses or blessings upon the subordinates. The devotee of the Lord, even though he may not be a Brahmana, is more powerful than a Brahmana. Prabhupada is making a point here. One could think that the king is not cursing because he is not powerful. No. The king is actually more powerful because he is a Vaishnava. Vaishnavas are superior to the all four classes. So he had more power. But he doesn't do that. But a powerful devotee never misuses the power for personal benefit. Whatever power the devotees have is always utilized in the service towards the Lord and his devotees only. They never use the power for their own personal things. They use always the power awarded to them for the service of the Lord and the devotee. So on this lecture, actually, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had given, and the topic was what it means to forgive. Actually, he said, forgiveness is the foremost quality of a devotee. So he mentions that the offense committed by Parikshit Maharaj is not great, not big, whereas the offense committed by Sringi is great. But Parikshit Maharaj is forgiving. He did not actually, he knows everything. He's not just out of inability, he just took the curse. He knows what is what. He knows Rajadharma. He knows that for the insignificant mistake he made, this is not the right punishment. He knows very well. But out of his humility, because he is forgiving, he forgave the boy, and because of his humility, he said, yes, I deserve the worst. Because of my behavior was improper, my conduct was improper, I deserve the worst. That's what he did. So the forgiveness is the foremost quality. Actually, like Maharaj was telling, Brahmana means the foremost quality is forgiveness. He says like different people in different ashram, different situation are actually beautified by various qualities they possess. A woman is beautified by her chastity. Chastity. Right? If the woman is chaste to her husband, she is beautiful, considered to be beautiful. A grihastha is considered to be beautiful when he performs charity. A brahmachari is considered to be beautiful when he engages in selfless service. A sannyasi is considered to be beautiful when he travels all over the world and preaches, delivers the fallen souls. A kshatriya is considered to be beautiful when he protects by his chivalry to protect the innocents. A vaishya is considered to be beautiful when he protects cow and involves in economic development. And a shudra is considered to be beautiful when he becomes loyal to his master. Similarly, a brahmana, out of so many qualities, we know the brahmanical quality. Krishna mentions in the 18th chapter, right? So, out of all these qualities, the foremost quality by which the brahmana is recognized is forgiving. That is what the brahmana bhai should have done. But he did not do that. So hence, Parikshit Maharaj, he is above than a brahmana, he is a Vaishnava. He was forgiving. He did not feel offended at all. Right? Again, Maharaj mentions the story of Kartavirya Arjuna, like in Parashuram and his father Jamadagini, right? When Kartavirya Arjuna came, he was traveling actually, and he is a very powerful king. He was devotee of Dadatri. He was devotee of the Lord Dadatri. He is incarnation of Godhead.
He has 1,000 hands. Right?
Yeah, he had 1,000 hands. Actually, he is a great powerful king. He is a great kshatriya. He is capable of, actually, one time when he was going with his queens or girlfriends or whatever, he was actually taking bath in the Narmada river. So to show his prowess, right, he just made a dam. Just by using his hand, he made a dam and then he stopped the river. Then at the time, like Ravana was traveling, and Ravana had actually, he was camped in the upstream. And then when the water was not flowing, the water actually flooded Ravana's camp. And Ravana got angry, and then Ravana immediately became very angry and he went to fight with Kartavirya Arjuna. At that time, Kartavirya Arjuna just picked up Ravana like a monkey. He's so powerful. He just picked up Ravana like a monkey. Ravana could not do anything. And then he threw him and let him go. He insulted him like that. He's so powerful. When one time he was traveling, he came with his 10,000 sons. He came to the ashram of Jamadagini. And then they were all tired. So Jamadagini, Rishi, he actually fed the whole army and the sons of the Kartavirya Arjuna by the mercy of Kamadhenu. He had a cow, Kamadhenu cow. So he produced a feast for the entire army, entire group of this personalities. Kartavirya Arjuna, instead of becoming grateful for the situation, he had become envy. So he sent an army to steal the cow. So immediately, right? Parashuram protected. He killed the whole army. He fought at the speed, it's mentioned. He fought at the speed of mind. And then, when he became a little tired, he fought at the speed of wind. Like that, it's mentioned. And then he killed actually Kathavirya Vijayana. When he did that, when he came back to his father said, "Son, we should have not done this. We are actually Brahmanas. Our qualities, we should be forgiving. We should have forgiven that king." So this forgiving is the foremost quality of the devotee. Without forgiving, it is not possible. Actually, in the age of Kali, it is impossible to have relationship. Maharaj mentions further, it is impossible to have relationship with anybody without the quality of forgiving. If you don't forgive, if you are not forgiving, if you are not in the mood of forgiving, because the age of Kali is surcharged with covalent hypocrisy. People will, somehow or other, they will be committing offense. It will happen. If the quality of forgiveness is not there, it is impossible to have loving relationship. And then actually further, Maharaj mentions, why do we have to have love and trust among devotees? Because without love and trust, there is no movement. Actually, Prabhupada mentions, he quotes, that love and trust is the oil through which the wheel of Krishna consciousness movement can be moved. The whole movement actually continues because of love and trust among the devotees. That's why Prabhupada mentioned again and again and again. He mentions that we should be forgiving. We should be loving to each other. We should be kind to each other. We should be cooperating. Where is the question of unity? If there is no unity, right, there is movement cannot move forward. Where is the question of unity when there is love and trust? Where is the question of love and trust if there is no forgiveness? Because people will be making mistakes. Because people somehow or the other, somehow, sometimes people get pushed by the circumstances. Sometimes people make mistakes because their mind went berserk. Right? In Kali Yuga, all this can happen. So one should be always forgiving. One should not feel offended. It's very important that further actually Maharaj was mentioning that he quotes the pastime of actually like Nityananda Prabhu, right, from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, when Jagai and Madai, when Madai actually insulted, when he broke the pot and broke the head of Nityananda Prabhu, he was not feeling insulted. When the Lord came, the Lord immediately came to protect his devotee. But Nityananda Prabhu prayed to the Lord, "Please forgive them." Actually, he saw the goodness. He told actually Jagai saved me. Actually, Jagai saved me. He saw the little goodness in them. And then he asked the Lord to forgive. And then that's how Jagai and Madai got protected. They got delivered. So the mistakes will bound to happen. And one should be, actually, when something happens to themselves, when somebody makes a mistake towards them, one should be forgiving. Like how Nityananda Prabhu did. And then also Maharaj was mentioning, one should not actually see that, that person make a mistake, he did like that. One should not actually hold the grudge. This is the Lord Chaitanya again, he mentioned that nobody should be talking about the sinful activities of Jagai and Madai. Now, because they are devotees, nobody should ever talk about their past mistakes. They should be forgiven. I am forgiven. To demonstrate this, what he did, the Lord Chaitanya took all the sins committed by Jagai and Madai, took on his own body. When he did that, Gaura Sundara became Shyama Sundara. His whole body turned black. He showed to all the assembled people that I have now taken all the sins away. They are completely forgiven. Because Nityananda Prabhu had forgiven them, I had forgiven them. They are removed from all the sinful activities. I am taking all the sins. His body immediately became black. So he had the Gaura Sundara become Shyama Sundara. And then the Lord asked, devotees, how am I looking? And then Advaita Acharya said, you look like exactly Krishna, Shyama Sundara. And then Lord immediately said, please chant. Please chant the holy names to drive away this sins. And then after when the chanting was done, Lord again became Gaurasundara. Everybody was chanting and dancing like one family. So when all the sins were driven, again it's mentioned, where were all the sins were driven? Into the heart of the people who offend devotees. Where does all the sins exist? In the heart of the people who commit offense against devotees. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually again and again mentioned that one should not actually commit Vaishnava Aparadha. That is the mad elephant offense. Our whole devotional service can be spoiled. So one should be careful in not committing offense toward others, and one should be forgiving in any offenses committed towards them. So that is the pastime. Actually, like even Madai prayed to Nityananda, I actually committed so many offenses. I committed so many sinful offenses against all these people. I don't even remember who and all I committed offense because he was drunk. I don't know who and all to go and ask forgiveness. So I had broken your head, I had committed offense. Nityananda said, no, it's not offense. It's like a child. Right? Child sometimes kicks the mother like that. He took it like that. It's like you are like a child. I'm not offended by your behavior. And then he was asked to go and build a ghat and the Ganges. And then keep the ghat clean. Whoever comes to the ghat to take bath, so he used to serve them. Sometimes people actually, even though most of the people had forgiven them, sometimes people who were like really affected by him, he killed so many people also. He killed so many families. People who were affected by like Madai, right? People who lost their family members, they become angry. They could not control. They used to take a stone and throw at him. And then you know what Madai used to do? Madai used to pick up the stone again and give it to them. Please, hit me again. I deserve more. I deserve the worst. He said, this is the behavior of an ideal devotee. This is the behavior of an ideal devotee. When some offense is committed towards us, one should not actually feel insulted. One should not feel avengeful. One should always pray to the Supreme Lord that actually I deserve the worst. So this is the lessons to learn from this particular verse, is especially the whole pastime is here. How not to behave is from Shringi. How to not to behave. How not to behave. And how to behave is like Parikshit Maharaj. And in between Parikshit Maharaj and Shringi is the Samyak Rishi who explains everything intelligently, using his discriminating power. So the Lord, when he enacts the pastimes, there is always a lesson for us to learn. And the take home lessons from this is, we should be forgiving. Forgiveness is the foremost quality of a Brahmana. Hence devotee should be forgiving everybody. And again, like Maharaj gives more points on this, so I would like to, if you get a chance, please listen to that lecture. So it's an excellent lecture. Maharaj brings out so many points on this, what it means to forgive. We will move to the next verse. Idi putra nigrena sunyupata mahamani svayam viprakrtu rajna naivabhantat achintayat. The sage thus regretted the sin committed by his own son. He did not take the insult paid by the king very seriously. The purport Prabhupada writes, Maharaj Parishit scarlanding the sage with the dead snake was not at all a very serious offense. We saw that why it's not a serious offense. But Shringi's curse, the king was very serious offense. Because of his enviousness and pride. The serious offense was committed by the foolish child only. Therefore, he deserved to be pardoned by the Supreme Lord. Even though he committed a serious offense because he was a child. So he deserved to be pardoned by the Supreme Lord. Although it was not possible to get free from sinful reaction. Maharaj Parikshit also did not mind the curse offered to him by the foolish Brahmana. On the contrary, he took full advantage of the awkward situation, and by the great will of the Lord, Maharaja Parishita achieved the highest perfection of life through the grace of the Srila Sukadeva Goswami. When some difficult situation happens, one should actually be very reflectful. Actually, maybe the Lord wants to learn something out of me. Actually, even this difficult situation, right, Parishita Maharaj became glorious. He took this opportunity, right, to fully surrender to the Lord. Hence, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. Hence, he was able to achieve perfection by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, 7 days continuously, right? Actually, it was the desire of the Lord, and Maharaj Parishita, Rishi Shamika, and his son Shamshringi were all instrumental in fulfilling the desire of the Lord. So none of them were put into difficulty because everything was done in relationship with the Supreme Person. The whole thing is nothing but arrangement of the Lord. Next verse.
Prayasa sadavo loke parai dvangeshu yojitaha nabiyantanti nashyanti yata atma gunashrayaha.
Generally, the transcendents, even though engaged by others in the dualities of material world, are not distressed, nor do they take pleasure in worldly things, for they are transcendentally engaged. Here Prabhupada actually explains what transcendentalist means. He says the transcendentalists are empirical philosophers, the mystics and the devotees of the Lord. Empiric philosophers aim at the perfection of merging into the being of the absolute. Mystics aim at the perceiving all-pervading super soul, and the devotees of the Lord are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the personality of Godhead. Actually, he tells who's transcendentalists. Since Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan are all different faces of the same transcendence, all these transcendentalists are beyond the three modes of material nature. All these transcendentalists, a yogi, here the yogi and the devotee. Both of them, actually here, Parashit Maharaj is a devotee. Samikrishi is a yogi. Both of them are transcendentalists. Both of them are above, actually, the modes of the material nature. That's why Samikrishi did not feel insulted when the snake was put on him. And then Parashit Maharaj did not feel offended. He did not see that, oh, this curse is like too much for me. Right? This curse Krishna is too much for me. He didn't feel offended at all. He took it actually as the mercy of the Lord. Because both of them are transcendental, both the modes of material nature. So the material distress and happiness are products of the three modes, and therefore the causes of such material distresses and happiness have nothing to do with transcendentalists. We can understand why devotees are above this causes of distresses and happiness in this world. Not just because of their indifference towards others, because of the indifference towards the things happening to them. That they know that this is all happening because of the three modes of material nature. Their goal is to serve the Supreme Lord, who is above the three modes of material nature. The king was a devotee and the rishi was a mystic. Therefore, both of them were unattached to the accidental incident created by the Supreme Will. The playful child was an instrument in fulfilling the Lord's will. That's what Prabhupada is telling. Both of them are not affected by the situation, and the child was also forgiven. And then the Lord's plan has been executed. What is the Lord's plan? Is to make Parashit Maharaj come back to him, and then make Srimad Bhagavatam spoken to counteract the age of Kali. Because the age of Kali, because you can understand how the Lord, right, seemingly contradicting situation, the age of Kali is coming, right? Bhagavatam is spoken. Bhagavatam is like the sun, as brilliant as the sun, because it's Krishna. Kali is age of darkness, seemingly contradictory things. But the Lord wanted this to happen. He can achieve so many things with one incident, seemingly contradictory things. But he enacts the pastime so that people in general can be benefited. Again, we will go to that's the last verse in this section. So again, this is the conclusion. I'll skip this slide. And then also some take-home points I have written here from the lectures. So the devotees must be self-conscious. We saw that from the last week. And then instinctive behavior is not for devotees. And then we need to respect a qualified leader. So that's the mistake the boy did. Parikshit Maharaj is a qualified leader. He is the leader of the whole kingdom. He is the leader. He is a great devotee. One has to respect a qualified leader. So one has to be using the discriminatory power to find out who is qualified and who is not qualified. So you should be respecting. The effects of democratic leadership. And then we saw that verses. So because of one devotee should be seeing that because of the democracy, people in general are actually suffering. Because there is nobody to lead them. People in general are prone to mistake, right? To err is human. People are going to commit mistakes. Without proper leader, they are bound to make mistakes. Why people are actually making mistakes nowadays? Why people are not directed? Because they don't have proper leaders. So by looking at the situation, devotees should become compassionate. One should not say that, oh, this age of Kali, and let them suffer. They deserve it. One should not say like that. The devotee should become compassionate towards the general mass of people, that there is nobody to guide them. Once, hence, by compassionate, by, based on this compassion, or how does this compassion transform? How does this compassion, based on this compassion, a devotee goes out and preach, helps others. The compassion transforms into action by preaching, by sharing, by spreading Krishna consciousness. And then taking responsibilities for our actions. One has to take responsibility. How Samyakrishi took responsibility for the action of the boy. He did not say that, oh, this guy deserves. He took the responsibility and he prayed to the Lord, because there is nothing else he could be doing. Similarly, our actions, we have to be responsible for all our actions. Sometimes knowingly, unknowingly, we make mistakes. We have to take responsibility. And then the quality of forgiveness is the foundation for love and trust in the movement. Without this quality of forgiveness, it is impossible to have relationship. It is not possible to have relationship without the quality of forgiveness. Without loving relationship, the movement cannot expand. It's impossible. So that's why Prabhupada actually quoted several times, the oil to keep the wheel of Krishna conscious movement going is love and trust among the devotees. And then Prabhupada also says, if our devotees are actually united with faith, we can change the whole world and make it Krishna consciousness. This unity is the most important thing. How the unity comes? Without this forgiveness quality, there is no unity. This is the foundation. Without forgiving quality, because we are bound to make mistakes, because the whole environment is charged with, every atom is charged with quarrel and hypocrisy in Kali. The ambience is surcharged with quarrel and hypocrisy. Hence we are bound to make mistakes. Hence we are bound to succumb to the situations and various things. Our mind is bound to go berserk. So devotees should be forgiving to each other. And based on that principle of forgiveness, one can build love and trust. By love and trust, the Krishna conscious movement can expand. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning. So this is the most important take-home point. This is the forgiveness quality. Without forgiveness, it is not possible to have. Forget about it. Among this devotees, within office, or within work, within family, anywhere, it's within society, it's not possible to have a relationship without forgiveness. We will stop here. So these are the references, and His Holiness Rompada Maharaj had given classes on this, as well as Radhanath Maharaj, a few verses from 38 to 40, as well as 42 and 48. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, as last week I was telling about degradation of the age of Kali because of what is the effect of democratic leadership. Tamal Krishna Maharaj had given a lecture on that as well. And then Radhishyam Prabhu actually spoken on the duties of a monarch and how to respect a leader. So we'd like to stop here. Sorry, I'm like 10 minutes over a lot of time. Okay, this is one picture I took when I was in Mayapur. So, so this is Ankopashtami. Very beautiful picture, and I will share this. Thank you. Please forgive me for my inability to explain this verses properly. His grace, Mother Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. 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 Jai